This is, I've been hanging out in Genesis. This is in Genesis chapter 4. It says in verse 25, later it says when Adam was 130 years old, it says, and Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed to me another offspring in the place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And to Seth, to him also, a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I believe this is the first example. This is like 235 years after the fall. This is the first example of a revival. Because it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord, or it could be translated by the name of the Lord, that they began to identify themselves as the Lord's again. I just think that's really interesting. And the thing is, it says that the Holy Spirit, when he pens the scripture, everything has an intent. It says, when Enosh was born, his name was Enosh, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. The word Enosh is a Hebrew word that means frailty. And I believe that's just one of those little insights from the Lord for personal or corporate revival. That whenever we come to grips again and recognize our frailty and our need for him, that's why I think the translation, if you have a New American Standard, it says in the margin when it says, and begin to call upon the name of the Lord, it says, by the name of the Lord. I think that's the best translation, is that when men began to realize they were frail, they began to call by the name of the Lord. They began to live by him again, in dependence on him again. That's why the greatest gift that you and I have as human beings after the fall, the greatest gift is our weakness. Because our God uses our weakness. The enemy was after producing in us a life of just a human being who's just frail and weak and struggling and broken. But the brilliance of God is that the result of mankind becoming so broken and so weak that their frailty would be the very thing that would drive them to need him. That's why it says that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. In 2 Corinthians 12, it is the missing ingredient that puts on display the power of God, the ability of God, is our frailty. So I know that in my own personal life, one of the things my teacher used to tell me, when I first started walking in some freedom, I first started walking in Christ, and I got a little frustrated because I thought the weaknesses would just go away, like the flesh stuff would no longer be there. Like you wouldn't even be tempted, really. And then I discovered that the weaknesses are still there. And any time I wasn't like abiding, I was getting in trouble. And this person told me, they said, your weaknesses are like the crook on the shepherd's staff that keep you dependent, that teaches you to live by faith. And so again, I believe that our greatest gift since the fall is the very thing that we wish would go away. Our weaknesses, because they keep us utterly dependent on him. We learn to live by God as a result of that. Interesting thing, though, that's 235 years after the fall, and this people are calling on the Lord, or calling by the name of the Lord all over. But when you turn over to chapter 6, some years later, it says, then the Lord said, saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's bad. It's one thing to have evil thoughts, but listen to what this scripture says again. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. I've had bad times and spells in my life, but I don't think every intent of my thought was ever only evil continually, even one whole day. That's a bad place to be in. So this contrast here is so amazing to me, because you have, at one point, all mankind beginning to call by the name of the Lord, or call the name of the Lord, when Enosh is born, frailty. But at some point, the tendency of mankind, and I believe it's because they forget their need, they fall back into a place. Israel was famous for that. In the book of Judges, 13 different times, Israel's a nation, revival, apostasy, revival, apostasy, revival, apostasy, revival, apostasy. And every time they would go into a place of apostasy, the Lord would raise up some kind of trauma in their life or some kind of battle to awaken their hearts back to a place of revival, to remind them of their need. God uses the attacks of the enemy to expose our frailty so that we remember what we've forgotten, that we were created to be dependent on Him. But here's the guy that impresses me. This is kind of what time I have left on this earth where I'm going after. It says in verse 21 of chapter 5, one of the things that's interesting about this part of Genesis, Noah, who built the ark, they were distant cousins. Noah, who built the ark, his dad was 9 years old when Adam died. It'd been kind of cool to have a relationship with Adam. He could tell you some stuff about needing God and not being deceived. But I like Enoch. It says in verse 21 of chapter 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. And then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. What does it say in the very next verse? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For 300 years, here's the world around him. Revival, then every thought evil continually. And here's a guy who for 300 years lived by faith and pleasing to God. What we can't allow, and this is a good word for young people, this would be a good word for the youth group because they got a lot of years out of them, you can't let your culture determine whether you're going to walk with God or not. You really want to pray for the spirit of Enoch. For 300 years, think about that, 300 years, he walked with God. That encourages me because it helps me to not step back and go, well, I know I didn't do really good yesterday. You know, I mean, sometimes things are just tough. No, he walked with God for 300 years. Didn't mean he didn't sin, but it means he didn't live in sin for any time that would be even worth noting. He walked with God for 300 years. I like that story because it reminds me, especially in light of the fact that I'm in Christ, I don't have any excuses. The other thing reminds me, I don't need any because I'm in Christ. Amen? I have something even Enoch didn't have. So whether the world or the body of Christ as a whole is manifesting revival or there's apostasy, my personal walk I'm accountable to. And I can walk with God every day the rest of my life, regardless of what anybody else around me is doing. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.